thing. It was with me all day. I go to bed at night. I thought it was for me. You know how we do? We always think everything is for us. But the Lord, and this was before I knew I was ministering. But the Lord said, this is not for you. This is for those that you are going to minister to. And it went like this. God will make a way out of no way. God will make a way out of no way. If you know it, sing it. God will make a way out of no way. God, get your mic. Make a way out of no way. Sing it. God will make a way out of no way. God will make a way out of no way. God will make a way out of no way. God, we're singing that because some of y'all think God have left you. Some of y'all think God has forgotten you. But he want to ask you today, what mountain do you have that you feel you can't climb up and cross? What river is it that you don't think you can cross?
No way.
He still specializes. Some of y'all don't believe it.
God,
some of y'all think that whatever you're going through is it. Some of you feel like God has left you. God has forsaken you. But God says he has made that way. If this is for you, stand up.
Because
it's not just for me. If it's for you, stand up.
Out of no way.
If it's not for you, sit down.
God will make a way out of no way.
We're living in a day and a time when it's no longer hourly obedience, it's second obedience.
Way.
Your deliverance is going to come when you stand and sing this song. The Lord said,
no
your deliverance
way.
Will come
God
as you sing the song.
Make
he will make
way
a way.
Out of no
who lied to you?
Way.
Who told you
God
that God had forgot you? That God has forsaken
way
you?
Out of no way. God will make
there's somebody in this room.
Way out
I just got to
no
go with what I hear.
Way.
There's somebody in this room who's facing an eviction.
No
your back is
way.
Against the wall.
God
you don't know who to turn to. You don't even know what to do. If that's you,
no
come here.
God
now, I might have missed it.
Make
if it's you, come here.
Out of no way.
You
God
cannot come after service. You can't come to pastor after service. You can't
no
come to one of the
way.
Elders after service.
God will
you can't let your pride stand in the way.
Way
God
out
said it's somebody in here who's facing
God
an eviction.
God will make a way out of no way. God will make a way out of no way.
Because
he is the keeper of my soul.
Do you know that? Because he's the keeper of our souls. God will make a way. If you believe he's going to make a way, then you receive what he's giving you right now. See, you got to take your eyes off of me. I can't make no way for you. You got to take your eyes off of me. I have nothing for you. But some of you in here got your back so up against the wall, you can't tear your back from the wall. And you feel like God has left you and he's forsaken you. But I'm here to tell you today, he's not a man that he should lie, not a son of man, he shall repent. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. Whose report you going to believe? You got to stop believing the report of the devil and believe the report of the Lord. He will make a way. You may be seated. And for the one whose rent was getting ready to get evicted, God was getting ready to pay your rent. You missed the window of opportunity. He was going to pay the rent. that one act of obedience could have got you rent paid. We're living family in a day and a time. We got to stop going by what we see and go by what the words say. There are some things that's coming upon the earth that when you hear the orders, you have to do it right then and there. It won't be a second chance. God will make a way. He's the only one who can make a way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor had to get that off me. I'd rather be obedient to what I believe I heard God and miss it than not be obedient and miss it. We're living in a day and a time when God is requiring us to have secondly obedience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. First, I just want to thank God for allowing me this opportunity, and I definitely want to thank my pastor for allowing me to see, this is not easy.
Yeah.
Don't you think this is easy? And if you want this, and if you're seeking this, and if this is what you're here for, you're in the wrong place. So anytime I get an opportunity to partake of the word and to give the word, I bless the Lord. Because it's a great responsibility to stand before God's anointed people and say, thus saith the Lord. So I thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Today we are going to, I'm not going to be before you long, we're going to come from the scripture, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10th to 18 verses. I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of the word. And it goes like this. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th through the 18 verses. Finally, that means that's like the end. Finally, a whole lot of other stuff done gone before. Finally, my brethren, be strong. When you hear the word be strong, that means it's going to be an opportunity for you not to be strong. He's letting you know there's going to be some things that's going to come upon the earth that you're going to be weak. And he's letting you know right now, be strong. Where? In the Lord. Not in your situation, not in your circumstances, not in your bank account, not in your job, but in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's letting you know what you're going to do. He's letting you know what you're going to be faced with. And he's telling you how to be successful. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For we're not fighting against each other. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, not just stand, but withstand in the evil day. I don't know where you live, but I think this time we're living in now qualifies as the evil day. And having done all he requires us to do is to stand. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I come, Father God, hallelujah, because you are God and I am not. Hide me behind your cross. Father God, I so dissipate, I so disappear, I so make myself so small that I am not even visible so that you can be seen. I don't have the word, you have the word. Now, Father God, I thank you that your people's hearts are good ground. I thank you, Father God, that the seed will be planted, and not just planted, but it will grow. I thank you now, Lord God, hallelujah, for every person in this room and even those that are not in this room who are listening to this message, that we, hallelujah, will be able to stand in this evil day, and we will be able to stand, hallelujah, as who and what you've called us to be to stand. Now, Father God, we thank you. Father God, we praise you. Lord God, we honor you. Hallelujah. In it's Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Today, for a few minutes, I want to talk to you from the subject, our identity as a warrior. The subtopic is, you're in the army now. Right now, you're in the army now. We've been hearing and hearing and hearing from other ministers and pastors talking about our identity. And when I went before the Lord to see, Lord, what it is that you would have me to talk to your people about, he placed it on my heart that we need to know who we are in him as warriors. We need to know not only us as warriors, but that we are in his army. Many times we get up in the morning and we go about our lives and our business just like we're here by ourselves. And he wants us to know you're not out here by yourself. You're in an army because you're a warrior. Now, here's the crazy thing. According to science, the probability of us being alive, you and me, today is basically zero. And that's what the scientists say. But those same scientists also have said that if you are alive today, and we are, that the probability of us being alive is 1 out of 400 quadrillion. That's 15 zeros. Now, what does that exactly mean? That means if you're sitting here today, if you hear my voice, that means you're a miracle. And the fact that we are saved by the blood of Jesus, that means our value has increased exponentially. In fact, because of the blood of Jesus, we are anomalies. Now, what exactly is an anomaly? An anomaly, according to the dictionary, is something so unusual, it stands out. We are rare. In fact, we're so rare that First Peter calls us a royal priesthood. He said we are a holy nation that God had called. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in a world filled with darkness, as warriors, we are light. I don't care how dark a room you go in. If you flip a switch and turn on the light, darkness disappears. As warriors, where my warriors at? Every dark situation you go in, you bring the light. Every hopeless situation, light, you come in, hope comes. We were saved for this dispensation. There are 7 dispensations. The one we're living in is the dispensation of grace. That's the last one before Jesus Christ has his millennial rule, his 1,000-year rule. If you are here, it only means that you are the best and the brightest, the strongest, the most tenacious soldiers that God has. He saved the best for last. You 1700s. You weren't born in the 1700s. You were born now. You know how we know that we're in the last of the last days? It's easy. He said knowledge will be increased. He says people be running to and fro. Do you know I can get from here to California in less than 6 hours? Do you know I got a computer in my pocketbook? The things, the places where we are now, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they didn't have the skill sets. They didn't have the knowledge base. They didn't have the tenacity to deal with this, but we do. They were able to deal with what they had to deal with. But God saved us for right now. Do you know how I know you're the best? Do you know how I know you're the brightest? Because you've been to hell and back, and you're still standing. He has thrown everything against you. And yet, you're still standing. Because you're the best. You're the best. You're the best. He called us royal priesthood for such a time as this. Ah, hallelujah. We are so amazing to God that he tells us. Now let me explain something to you. And we get it. Now Pastor, you're going to have to stop. And we take this scripture out of context. It's a scripture that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. We hear that at funerals. We talk to have preachers preach it and teach it. Let me tell you what that means. It means that when one of us die, who's on this wall, who's in this battle, who's fighting, it costs God something. It ain't because, oh, it's precious. It's another word for precious and priceless. And priceless is costly. Whenever a saint leaves here who's fighting, it costs God something. Because a lot of times he don't have another one to put in their place. God don't need nothing we got in heaven. He don't need our light. He's the light. He don't need our provision. He's the provision. He don't need our strength. He is the strength. He need us here to fight. To fight. So when a saint rolls up out of here, it's priceless. It cost him something. It cost him something. The next time you hear that, you say, oh God, you got to send more reinforcements in. You got to send more reinforcements in. Hallelujah. So let's talk about warfare. You know, there are a lot of similarities between natural and spiritual warfare. In fact, there are three basic levels of warfare. You got your strategic level, your operational level, and your tactical level. Okay. The strategic level, it applies to all forms of warfare and conflict. Now, it's on this level that our wars and our conflicts with the devil and the kingdom of darkness will be either won or lost. So on this level, battles, and what we got to understand is this. Battles are never personal. Now, the attacks are, but the battle is not. When countries are at war, Minister, correct me if I'm wrong, when countries are at war, and when the soldiers are on the front line, the enemy, they're not trying to kill the soldiers because they got something personal against the soldiers. The soldiers represent the country. The devil is not trying to hurt you. He's trying to kill you. Not because of you, but it's because of the country that you represent. You represent the kingdom. It's not about you. But yet, you get the attacks. Because his job is trying to take us out. Like I said, it's costly to God when one of us go. It costs God everything. Because the time you were here, he pouring everything into you for you to be a warrior. Because you're in the army now. We got to understand, again, that soldiers are not shot and killed for personal reasons. You got to stop making this personal. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. In natural life, when a soldier is killed, they are casualties of war. When we get taken out, we are casualties also of the kingdom. You got to understand what I'm saying, and I keep saying the same thing, because you got to understand how important you are to God and the kingdom. And how much the devil hates you. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy me because of who we serve. But we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You got the blood, but do you have a testimony? We got the blood through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but what about your testimony? Because that's what he comes for. He's not coming for you. He's coming for what's in you. He's trying to come to see if you really believe what you say you believe. So he throws things to see. Let me tell you how shrewd he is. He will mess with your bank account. We're talking about warfare now. We're talking about our identity as a warrior. You're in the army now. He will mess with your finances for one reason only. For you to say, I am broke. Stay with me. Stay with me. He will mess with your health for one single reason. For you to say, I am sick. Now, let me tell you the problem with that is, I am is the name for God. Anything you put behind I am going to come to pass. So if he can get you to say, I am broke, I am sick, I am depressed, I am anxious, you look up and that's what you are. Because God looks over his word to perform it, and his name is I am. I don't care what you got in your wallet. You can have lint in it. You say what God says about you. I am rich. I don't care if pain is back in your body. We ain't denying that you're in pain. We ain't denying that your bank account is what it is. We're just going to align ourselves with the word of God and what he's saying about us. He said, I am above and not beneath. And the devil is under our feet in every area of our lives. Start saying what God is saying about you. I am rich. I am healed. I am delivered. I am set free. I am made whole. Hallelujah. 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 We got to start believing the report of the Lord. We got to stop believing the propaganda. He's winning the war through propaganda. Propaganda is nothing but lies. The propaganda, that's part of his strategy to get you to say something God hasn't said. And God is just sitting there waiting for you to line up with him. We're not denying the facts that these things aren't so. But God is greater than any pocketbook. God is greater than any sickness or disease. I double dog dare you to say what the words say. You're going to look up one day and you're going to be on the other side of whatever you are on and in. The devil gets us. We're in warfare now, remember? We warriors, this is warfare. He don't play fair. If he can get you to say something God has not said, God can't do anything. The angels can't do anything. Let me tell you something. This room is packed with angels. I got my two in the back. Hey. Most of them, 80% of them in the room are unemployed. Because they only hearken to the voice of the Lord. You got to put them to work. You got to say, angels, you excel in strength. You hearken to the voice of the Lord. You do his bidding. You are here to protect us who are heirs of salvation. Anything that's in your house that is not God, you can get the angels to run it out. I keep my angels on overtime. They see what I don't see. I don't need to see it. They see it. They know I'm an heir of salvation. They know who I am. Yeah. And the devil knows who I am too. And the devil knows who some of y'all are. Yeah. He don't know all of you. Don't think that's good. Don't think that's good. I want him to know who I am. I want him to know whose team I'm on. I want him to know who I'm fighting for. I need him to know. Not today, devil. I need him to know. I'm a child of the Most High King. My daddy has cattle on 1,000 hills. You talking about you ain't got no money to pay your gas and electric bill. All the cattle are here. All the silver and gold's his. He got cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. It's in this strategic level. Now stay with me. It's going to get a little rocky. That the commander-in-chief, God, he downloads instructions and strategies and orders to the general. Stand up, general. Pastor Jeff, you're the general. Yes, put your coat on. Put your coat on. Put his coat on. This is what a real general look like. This is what a real general look like. Let me tell you how this works. God downloads into you strategies, plans, campaigns for Israel Life Church and for the people. He don't give them to me. He don't give them to no other elder, no leader. He don't give them to no member. He don't give them to another pastor of another church or another bishop. He give them to you. And he holds you accountable. You can sit down, Pastor. He holds you accountable to bring it to pass. Now, here's the problem. All our orders come through him. By God. How then is it that God gives the instructions to him for us, but we go someplace else? To somebody who's not praying for us, somebody who's not covering us, and get orders from them. And bring confusion in the house because what they're saying is not what he's saying because their orders are different over there than what the orders are here. It don't make him wrong. It just makes him out of order.
My God, my God.
Out of order. It just makes him out of order. Here's the thing. His elders, his leaders, his intercessors, his department heads, we are advisors. That's it. He may or may not bring things to us. And when he does, we're going to advise him the best we can because he got the best leaders in this world. We got the wisdom. We got the knowledge. We got the experience. We got the skill sets. We got everything. But it's still ultimately up to him whether he accepts it or not. And that's fine because God is giving him orders for this house. Now, while God is giving him orders for this house, let me tell you what God is doing. He's giving me orders for my house and you orders for yours. How then can it be? How can it be if you can't get your house straight, you're going to try to straighten the church? My kitchen right now is not clean. Y'all love transparency? Let me give it to you. I got dishes in my sink right now. I can't talk to him about what his kitchen looks like. God did not put me here or you here to instruct him. Do you not know Hebrews says that this man has to give an account for us before God? He does. When we go to other, and I'm not saying anything negative about other pastors, apostles, and ministers, but here's the thing. God can't hold you responsible for anything that happens with us if he's giving instructions to somebody across town. God is a God of order. God is a God of protocol. Orders come from the top down. They never come from the bottom up. He will never tell anybody anything about you and make him stand in account for you. A lot of our lives are shipwrecked. We're listening to too many people. Diverse seed. Do you not know that a double-minded man or woman, they're unstable in all their ways? Whatever God needs me to have or to, he knows where I am. He knows I'm in this house. It's his responsibility to tell him. Now, here's the thing. He may not, oh, I got a word. No, he's on his knees, interceding. He's in the word, which is a sure word of prophecy. That's the prophecy. The word. Am and the elders are simply drill sergeants. Family, we have got to restore honor, order, and holiness back in the house of the Lord. It's getting ready to get real rocky. As warriors, our job is to follow orders. We have to fight against the spirit of familiarity. Not only does it breed contempt, it is contempt. Because it breeds a lack of disrespect. A lack of respect. And it's a trick of the enemy. See, the goal is to keep us from receiving what God has for us through the man. I can't respect anything I'm equal to. Just can't do it. I teach and I'm cool with my students, but we'll never be like this. We ain't the same. We ain't the same. We're not the same with him. Let me explain something. There are people who's supposed to be in this house right now who left because they got offended at Jeff. You in good company. The people got offended at Jesus. They said, what? Ain't that Mary's son? Ain't his brothers here? Don't we know his sisters? What? And because of the spirit of familiarity, he could do no great works. When you become familiar, and see, and this, he's very friendly, but when you become familiar, you block yourself from receiving what God has for you. When you determine that you know how to teach him, when you determine that you know the word better, it might be time for you to go. Because God will never give you instructions for the house. Our job is just to take the orders. See, this is how it's supposed to go. This is how it's supposed to go. The word comes to us for us to take it outside of here, out of this church with no walls. But instead of us taking water to the desert, we take water to water. We give it to each other. Y'all don't need no water. Y'all need to be out here watering people yourselves. Our job is to come in here, get the download, get the instructions, and take them out here. That's what God called us to do. He is the general. We are the follow the orders. Do you all not know that there are people that are dying outside of these doors? Do you not know that you got life that can keep them from dying? Do you not know that God will hold us accountable for all of the word that we have gotten that we have not done anything with? Going to call Minister Joanne and we're going to sit on the phone in hours and talk about the word. Pastor said this, pastor said that. She don't need that. Look at her. That right there, that's a killer. That's a warrior. She busy out there killing devils for other people. Intercessor Joanne. And because they were offended in Jesus, he couldn't do nothing. Couldn't. Here's the sad part about what offense does. Because, man, that's another strategy of the devil to pull you out the house. Because once he pulls you out the house, he can separate you, he can destroy you. A lot of these people don't have a covering. A lot of these people just wandering out there in the street. A lot of these people, they're going to tell you, oh, I'm in the word on my own. He gave us pastors. He gave us teachers. He gave us the fivefold for the equipping of the saints. If that were the case, we could all go home. They are sitting home being picked off by the devil. Half crazy. Because they don't think God loves them. They think God done left them. But they got diverse seed. They on the internet listening to this one. They on here listening to that. They're listening to so much, but they don't hear God. Because if they heard God, they would hear God say, get back into the sheepfold. They offended. They're offended. And the devil separated them to kill them. You in the army now? Here's the thing about this army. Because pastor is our pastor. He's our general. He's permanently on the front line. And he gets the hardest hits. He gets the hardest hits. Not only is he getting hits as a man, a black man, let's put the anointing aside. As a man, specifically a black man, specifically a husband, specifically a father, and he had the crazy notion to become a pastor. No, back down now. God got you. I'm saying all of that to say, instead of us, after every service on Sundays, running to him, bringing everything to him that we should by now be able to handle on our own, why don't we pray for him and pray for his wife and pray for those babies? Now, let me tell you what they do in the war room. See, we got a war room. We got a war room with some intercessors that will tear the devil's head off. These intercessors in the war room, they pray 7 days a week, sometimes 2 to 3 times a day. And every prayer, they're praying for him and his wife and his children, that they can stand on that wall, that they can continue to do the things God has called them to do. See, here's the thing. Frontline ain't just for him, it's for us. We're in the army now. The problem is, some of us have gone AWOL. We want somebody else to pray. We want somebody else to intercede. We want somebody else to do it. What did they say? Get somebody else to do it. That's what we want. But you have got to learn how to go up for yourself. There are going to be times you ain't going to be able to find pastor. God is going to specifically make it where you can't find him. There are going to be times God is going to fix it where you can't find an intercessor. God needs you to stand on your own. Yeah. The crazy thing, though, if you do decide to go the prayer route, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, intercessor, I believe there are 8 prayer watches. Now, I'm of the mind that I believe personally that God loves more than any other watch, the 4th watch. That's the one that started at 3 o'clock in the morning. The 3 a.m. watch. There's some of you right now, he's waking up at 3 a.m. The 3 o'clock in the morning watch. He wakes you up. You can't sleep. You get up and go in the kitchen and get a snack. That ain't what he's waking you up for. You turn on the television or go into the internet. That ain't what he's calling. It's somebody over in Indonesia needs you to pray. It may be a Christian who's being persecuted. He's waking you up. I need you to stand in the gap. I need you to pray. You're a warrior. Warriors war. It may be your unsaved boss. You don't always know who you're praying for. Your job warrior, soldier. It's just to follow instructions. Not one time did you go to the general and ask him why did you he get. No, you just did them. And the people that you were had authority over, you just told them to do it. And they didn't ask you. They just did it. We're the only group of people, Christians. You got to give an explanation for everything. And they'll do it based on how they feel, based on whether they like it or not. I know Pastor Jeff loves us because he said every week. But ain't no buts. God is going to tell him some things about you. He's not even going to tell you. He's just going to pray. He's just going to come through that word with your answer and hope that you will grasp it and get it. So the next time you think about dropping everything that's in your life from Genesis to Revelation at his feet, and here's the crazy part. When people tend to do that, it's right after he's finished ministering, and the anointing is still on him, and he's exhausted. Yes. At least say, Pastor, can I make an appointment with you? He wants to go home. He wants to rest. Because I promise you, when the anointing is on you, and when he lifts off, you ain't worth a nickel. You're exhausted. You need to recover. We got to protect our general. We got to protect because, my God, as goes him, goes us. And, of course, the enemy want to pick him off because this is where the instructions come from. If you smite the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. I'm almost done. The second level of basic warfare is operational. Now, it's on this level, again, that instructions and strategies pastor receives from God. Again, he meets with the officers, his elders, ministers, intercessors, department heads, and the anointed leaders with vision. Again, with all of the things that we have. And that's so we can effectively mobilize a church without walls. Last Sunday, he met. He met to see who you with. Who you with. He needed people to get that app so he can see who his army is. Bernie Mac said, who you with? We need to know who you are with. We need to know who's fighting so we can mobilize and go out there in the streets, bring a dying world back to Christ. The third level is the tactical level. Now, this is the preparation for war. And it involves more planning and execution of battles and engagements. And it's our command center. And it also involves the war room. And, but, ask a question. I gotta ask one question before I go further. Where are the wailing women? Jeremiah says to call for the mourning women. Send for the most skillful of the women. Teach your daughters and the younger women how to wail, how to cry out before the Lord. They already know how to twerk. They already know how to bag a man. Teach them how to wail. Teach them how to cry out before the Lord. Teach them how to intercede. Teach them how to pray. Where are the wailing women? Jeremiah says, death has climbed through the windows and is removing the children from the street and the young men from the public places. There's not a day go by we don't hear of somebody getting killed. Just because he ain't in your family, Just because you don't know him. The wailing women, we got to start praying for the sons, fathers, grandsons, grandfathers, uncles, male cousins, brothers. If the church doesn't do it, who will? That's still part of being a warrior. Some of the hardest warfare you're going to do is praying. Where are the wailing women? Where are you? It can no longer be my foreign no more. Where are you? There's a lot of young men out there. They don't know what to do. But if we cry out before God, God will give them direction. God will give them guidance. Who's praying for them? We know somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. That's why we're here. We didn't come in on our own. Somebody prayed us in. Wailing women. We got to pray them in. Not pray them in for you to pray on them, but pray them in. P-R-A-Y. Not P-R-E-Y. For the kingdom. So, let's prepare for war. Like I said, you have to know who's in your army. In order to fight as a warrior, you got to know those that labor among you. You got to know who's in the trenches with you. And I'm going to tell you why, because unfortunately, we're living in a day and a time that a whole lot of people, Christians, in the body of Christ, they have chose to camouflage themselves to fit in, to be accepted in the world, so they can get invited to the cookouts. They ain't going to keep talking about Jesus and God. They don't take all that. They don't want everybody to know that's who they are. So they're going to camouflage themselves. And so they'll go to work. They'll listen to all of the dirty jokes. And they'll laugh. Ha, ha, ha. They want people to know, oh, I'm not like them. I'm one of you. Now, here's the thing about that. We don't necessarily know. We don't need to know. The people, thank you. The people on your job don't know. But the devil know. You think. He thinks he ain't going to attack you because you camouflage. If you have given your life to the Lord, when the devil sees you, when the devil sees me, all he sees is the blood. And that puts a bullseye on your back. I don't care if you at the hookah bar. I don't care if you down at the club. I don't care. If you doing whatever you do, if you down Baltimore Street, all he sees is the blood. So now, so to prepare for war, you got to be trained, and I'm done. You got to be trained. Basic training. That's pastor's job. He trains the drill sergeants. And then he'll get the drill sergeants to train everybody else. He's already started doing that. We've been done that. And he's going to do more of it. Because this church is getting ready. Look around. Just look around. Look around. Look. Look. Turn your necks. Look. This church is about to be completely filled. And we need more drill sergeants. Here's the thing. In order to be a drill sergeant, you have to go through boot camp. You got to go through basic training. The problem is there are some people who are Christians who've been Christians for 20 and 30 years, and you're still in boot camp. When you should be a drill sergeant, you still need somebody to teach you the elementary things of God. We need you for the new recruits. We need you to come and teach and train. We shouldn't have to keep saying the same things over and over and over and over and over. This place is, it's not going to be, this place is full. It's completely full right now. And it's filled with the people outside of these walls who want what you got, who wants peace, who wants joy, who wants hope, who wants a hope and a promise. They know what's out there is not working for them. That's why this place is filled. It's filled to capacity. It's so filled, we're getting ready to get a new building because we don't have room to hold everybody. So, we're talking about our enemy. In order to go to war, you got to know who the enemy is. Okay? Ephesians talks about, and Ephesians tell you, he lists the four ranks. The first one is principalities. Now, let me tell you about principalities. Principalities, these demons are handpicked by Satan. They rule in heavenly places over other demons. They are the ones that influence the people in the high ranks, the presidents, the heads of states, heads of governments. These demons initiated what we considered that suspected Chinese spy balloon that they blew up over the Atlantic. These demons are the ones in charge of Russia invading Ukraine and trying to push us into a nuclear war. Those where those demons are. They don't know you. They don't know me. Because they're on assignment. One thing about demons, and I'll never ever say anything good about them again, they know how to follow orders. They know how to follow orders. They know about rank and file. They don't ever have a better way. They just do what they're told. And they accomplish what they're sent forth to accomplish unless they come up against a warrior. The second ranking is powers. Now, these demons have delegated authority. They have the authority to spread the power of evil and darkness into any given area and into people's lives. They are the evil spirits that attack feelings. They convince you of things, whether it's real or not. You can walk in a room. You can speak. I don't hear you speak. I'm dealing with something in my mind. I have nothing against you. I just didn't hear you speak. Daughter, you think I need some more shoes? So what we gonna do? You done built something in your mind up against me. Because I didn't speak to you one time and I didn't even hear you. So that demon is saying to you, she an elder. Who she thinks she is? She don't speak to you? Who? She ain't no better than you. And you allow that thing to ruminate and ruminate. You replay it over and over and over and over and over in your head. I don't know nothing about it. Until one day the Lord says to me, go get that sister a hug over there. And I go and I give a hug and it breaks. Because that's what we have to do. These demons, these powers, they not only will give you vain imaginations about your sister and your brother, because remember now, we're not fighting each other. We're fighting wickedness in high places. We don't fight each other. No. We have bought the propaganda. We believe the lie. You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. I'm telling you who your enemies are right now. Not only do they give you vain imaginations about each other, they're the ones that send the wicked thoughts and imaginations. That's why pornography is so hard. This is their job. They don't eat. They don't sleep. They don't slumber. They got all day. They've been in this world since the beginning of time. They know when you were born. They saw when you were born. They know every hard place you've been through. They know every hurt. They've seen every disappointment. They've seen every time somebody has done you wrong and hurt you from the time you were a baby on up to now, and they use it for their advantage. They do. They are the ones that keep you trauma bonded to events. Really imagine, some people are trauma bonded to things that happened 30 years ago. They won't allow God to pour in oil and wine. They want to hold on to that. And it's easy for them to hold on to that because the devil makes them feel like they're justified to hold on to that. And they go the rest of their lives living lives, not victorious lives in Christ that Christ intended us to live. You cannot live a victorious life and you trauma bonded to something, certainly something that's a lie. Or something that the devil told you that's not true. It's a lie. If a part of it is false, the whole thing is a lie. These are the demons that make it impossible for you to get over church hurt. Here's the thing about church hurt. If you don't deal with church hurt, you take it to every church you go to. And to you in the past church. So then you can say, see, I told you, they're all the same. Yeah, this would happen to me over this church. This would happen to me over that church. We do the work for the devil. These are the devils. These are the demons that keep us bound, trauma bound to unforgiveness. For about 2 years, he'll leave. He keep coming back. He'll leave. He keep coming back. Talk about unforgiveness. That's all he talk about. Talking about you. It's a reason. Because he knows what unforgiveness will do. First of all, unforgiveness is me drinking poison hoping to kill you. That's what it is, literally. Me drinking poison hoping that it kills you. And if I hold on to the unforgiveness enough, because the enemy is going to always, no matter, if I get to the point where I'm almost done, he's going to bring it back. He's going to rehearse it. And see, here's the thing. The reason why we can't get rid of it, and the Holy Spirit is trying to help us, because we do three things. We nurse it. We talk about it over and over and over and over and over again in our minds. Then we rehearse it. We talk about, well, she did this, then he did this, and then not gonna, then we disperse it. And as long as we nurse, rehearse, and disperse, we'll never be free. And what will happen, it will turn into a root of bitterness. And when it turns into a root of bitterness, it chokes everything out. No good can come to you. And the devil will have done what he was supposed to do. Because that's what he's coming for. Again, he's coming for the word. I'm done. The third group. Rulers of darkness of the world. These demons are placed in rank and file. Now, these are the ones that are given the orders and assignments to control you with superstitions. They're the ones to tell you, yeah, you pray, but you better sage too, girl. Some of y'all got sage on you now. Get rid of it. It's not of God. It's witchcraft. Satan can't cast out Satan. Some of you, we're talking about Christians now. We're not talking about the world. Using crystals and good luck charms like old keys around your neck. You say you believe in God, but you're using the devil's devices. If I pray, I don't need no sage. I don't need no crystal around my neck. no old keys. About 2 weeks ago, I needed to get a new phone. When I do things like that, like high technological things like that, get a phone, I always have somebody with me. I was blessed to be able to take one of my daughters with me. And all I had to do was stand there because I knew she knew about all this stuff and she was going to do all of that. We were in a T-Mobile store. I'm just chilling, living my best life. Wow. I said, what am I getting? Is that a good phone? Yeah, Mom, it's a good phone. The young man who waited on us, pleasant young man, he had a name which was two prophets put together. And I mind my business, and she's asking him, well, what's your name mean? So he says, well, my parents are Christians. And they took two prophets' names and put them together. Here's the problem. He had a big crystal around his neck and a key, a rusty key. So she said, not me, I'm minding my business, I'm getting a new phone. She said, what is that for? He said, to ward off evil spirits. Now, I wanted to say something so bad, but the Holy Spirit did not release me to say anything. Is that my mute, my time to stop? Is that my half of my? Oh, okay. I know. I like that tune. Oh, okay. So I'm almost done. Okay. I wasn't going to say anything. We're standing there, we're just talking. This is what he said. He said, I know y'all. Why do I feel like I know y'all? And then I said, well, you know us because we got the same father.
We got the same.
One plant, another water, but it's God that gets the increase. God just needed me to remind him who he was. Not to have a big Bible and pull out the scriptures, because the Bible says that we are living epistles to be read of all men. People should look at your life and know you know him. Yeah. Just that saying, we got the same father, it reminded him of not only who he was, but whose he was. Very quickly. The fourth group, and I'm going to finish with this because I know... The fourth group, these are the wicked spirits in heavenly places, or the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. These are the most dangerous of all out of the four, because these are religious demons. They are the ones that work through people who yield their members to them. Now, they can't work through you if you don't yield your members. These are the demons that join the church, been baptized, profess religion. They even profess holiness. They may preach, they may sing, they may usher, they may greet, they may sit on boards. They have infiltrated the body of Christ all over the world. See, the devil can concentrate all his efforts on the church because he got everything else. He got the clubs. He got the strip places. He got all of that. So he has all of his efforts concentrated here because he knows that if he's here, he can do everything through his vessels to stop what God is trying to do.